Today we continue our sermon series, Aha, where we have been talking about awakening, honesty, and action. Many of us have had aha moments in our lives, and this is basically when you have a point in time or an experience where you have a sudden realization, an insight, an understanding, something that didn't occur to you before but now is very evident. And we've talked about an aha moment usually occurs when three elements come together: a sudden awakening, brutal honesty, and immediate action. Some of you have been reading the Aha book by Kyle Idleman, and you might remember he talks about a recipe book that he has in his kitchen that he's allowed to use when it's his turn to cook. And it's a simple recipe book with what are called three ingredient recipes. Makes it real easy for guys that maybe don't cook a lot. But he learned really quick that if you leave any one of these elements out, doesn't work. Food does not taste good and you don't want it again. So we're going to be talking about the third element today, but let's remind everybody where we've been. This story, this parable of the prodigal son, started in the father's house. Home was a good place. Mom and dad were there, had two sons. They were reasonably well off enough that the younger son wanted his father's estate, and he very brashly and rudely asked for his share of his father's inheritance so he could go off and live his own life. And we're told that the father let him go. So the son went to a place called the distant country. It's a story. Jesus really didn't identify a place, but he went somewhere away from the father's house, and he lived it up. In the way Jesus told the story, he spent all of his money on wild living. And then Murphy showed up, you know, the guy with the law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And about the time his money ran out, there was a famine that hit the land, and everybody was left destitute. But he didn't have any family support. So here's this fine young Jewish young man in a foreign country, and the only job he could find was slopping the pigs. So he's left there. He's hungry. He wants to eat what the pigs are eating, but nobody gives him anything. And then Jesus comes to this pivotal moment in the story that says, when he finally came to his senses. Maybe you can relate to that too. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you kind of got off track and then you came to your senses. The starting of the aha moment, a sudden awakening. And when you have a sudden awakening like this young man did, you got to realize where you were. Home was a good place. Realize where you are. I'm living in a pig pen. And you got to realize where you could be. You know, I could actually go home to my father. But the second part of aha is brutal honesty. And we talked last week about the fact that you have to be honest about the circumstances that you've created in your life. You got to be honest about what brought you here. I made some stupid choices. I made some bad decisions. And you have to be honest about the consequences. And that leads us to our third step in the aha process. And to get there, I'd like to invite you to open your Bible with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you can open up to page 840. Today we'll be reading starting in verse 17. Jesus continues the story in this way. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming." Let's pause there for a moment. So this young man has the sudden awakening. He's been brutally honest, but if he wants to experience aha, he has to take immediate action. Unless you take action, you won't have your aha. Now, you know, taking action is something that we see that's important in other areas of our lives, too. A lot of people are looking for good deals, and I don't know if you've ever had the occasion to use something like Groupon or one of these other online things, maybe on Facebook or some other deal, but you get a discount and you get a really good deal, but you got to do it when? Now. If you don't do it now, you lose out and you don't get it. And of course, when we watch television and some of the sales commercials that they have there, they do the same thing. If you buy now, if you act now, you can get all these extra benefits. And so it's important to take action. And in the same way, this young man has to take action for his aha moment to be completed. Now, taking action may be the hardest of the three parts of the aha process. It's hard to be brutally honest with yourself, with others, and with God, but translating that into action is one of the most difficult things in the world to do. But this young man realizes that he can't stay where he is. He's going to starve if he stays there. And so it says, he returned home to his father. Now, in our New Living Translation, it just uses the word returned. But if you use a different translation, like I put on the screen, the New International, it divides this verb into two parts. He got up and went to his father. The Greek word here for the first part, got up, is anastas. Anastas means to stand, to get up, or to rise. Interestingly enough, Jesus used that same word, anastas, to stand, to get up, or rise, in Mark 8:31, when Mark records this. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders and leading priests and teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would anastas from the dead. He would rise and get up. So what's interesting is this young man didn't just stand up and start walking. He got out of something more than just a pig pen. He got up out of an old life, a life away from the Father's heart in his house, in order to start a brand new life. And just as Jesus rose to a new life, this young man was going to anastas, rise to a new life. Now, getting up can be the difference between giving in to peer pressure and making good on your choices for life. Getting up can make the difference between struggling with an addiction and freedom. It can be the difference between continuing to feel all alone and forgiving that grudge that you're holding on to. It can be the difference between divorce and mending your marriage. Getting up is important. But remember, unless you get up and take action, you won't have the aha moment. So what does it take to get up? It takes immediate action. So let's break that down. Three important elements of immediate action. First of all, you got to know where you are. This young man had to be brutally honest about his situation. He had to recognize that staying with the pigs was unacceptable. He couldn't do it anymore. And if he's going to get out of there, he's going to have to take this immediate action. Now, we like action. In fact, many of you might enjoy action movies. And just to see how familiar you might be, we're going to play a little round of Name That Action Movie. I'm going to give you a quote and see if you can tell me what action movie it comes from. So here's the first one. Fight and you may die. Run and you will live, at least for a little while. And dying in your beds for many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for just one chance to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take your lives, but they will never take our freedom? Braveheart. That's absolutely right. Mel Gibson in Braveheart. So that was his speech to rally the troops. Okay, let's try another action movie quote. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you want. And if you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. Taken, that's right, Liam Neeson in Taken. So somebody had kidnapped his daughter and they were calling and trying to extort from him and he was going to get her back. Okay, let's try one more. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix legions, loyal servant to the true emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Gladiator, that's right, Russell Crowe. All right, we like action, don't we? We like our action movies. But I want you to check this out. There's an interesting irony about our culture today. We love action, but we would rather watch it than live it. Think about it. We watch gourmet cooking shows while sitting on the couch to order a pizza for home delivery. We watch the Home Improvement Network for hours and then get a drink from a leaky faucet. We watch The Biggest Loser but don't want to get out of the recliner to get the remote across the room. Oh, we like to watch action, but we don't like to take it. But if you're going to take immediate action, you've got to know where you are. This young man had the sudden awakening. He looked into the proverbial mirror with some brutal honesty. But if aha is going to take place in his life, he has to take some immediate action by getting up out of the pig pen and leaving the distant country. When you know where you are and you know that you don't have to stay there, that's what makes it possible to get up. The second part of taking immediate action is to know where you're going. Now, you don't have to have all the answers, but when you know where you're going, it makes things a whole lot easier. I don't know about you, but I have really appreciated the advent of the GPS. If I've got to go to a doctor's appointment or a store I've never been before, it's really easy to just punch that address in. I resisted at first because I had friends that had GPS, but it was in the very beginning, and you might remember this, you had to tap the screen to punch in every letter, and I didn't want to do that. But I found out there was a technology that developed called voice to text. And you could hit a little microphone icon and speak into the device, and it would put everything up there. So I decided, man, I got to check that out. So I went to price them, and they were way out of my budget. But how many of you remember the old Circuit City stores that used to be around? When they were going out of business, I went in there, and they had a demo out there that was on a steep discount, and I finally bought one. And now it sits in a drawer because my phone does it, right? And such. But you got to know where you're going. My parents, when they traveled, had OnStar in their car, and so it gave them voice commands. There wasn't necessarily a map. But we have devices like that that help us know where we're going. Now, when the prodigal son got up, he didn't need a GPS. He knew where he was going. He was going back home. He was going back to his father's house. He knew the way to the distant country, and he knew the way home. He might not have known how long it would take or what he was going to do for food, water, or shelter on the way. He just knew that he had to get back to his father's house. He didn't know how his father would react to his return. He didn't know how his older brother would react and if he'd ever speak to him again. He didn't know exactly how his new way of life would be, but he knew it would be better than where he was. So he got up. When you have an aha moment, rarely if ever will God let you know exactly what's going to happen from there. But if you know where you are going and that God has in store for you something better than where you've been, you can get up. It might not be easy. It might be the hardest thing you've ever done. But when God gives you your aha moment, He just wants you to get up and come home. It might mean saying, I could lose all of my friends if I quit partying, but I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't know if they'll ever find it in their hearts to forgive me, but I know the Bible says to be honest. I don't know if I'll fit right away in the church, but I know that I need to go and be a part of it. When you can see past the present into the future God has for you, it makes the step of immediate action possible. And when you know where you're going, it makes it possible to get up and take that immediate action. Now, let's look at verse 20 again. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Third part of immediate action, know who's waiting for you. This young man would obviously have known his father, but there's no way he could have expected this response. Where was his dad's anger? He treated his dad with contempt. He demanded his inheritance, and he took it, and he wasted it. Where was dad's wagging finger in the son's face saying, I told you so, you shouldn't have done that? Where's the disapproval and punishment? It wasn't there. This likely stunned Jesus' audience, because all of them would have been thinking this whole time, boy, if my son ever did that, he'd never be welcome back here. And this is exactly why Jesus put this twist in the story. The father is not just sitting around. He's actively looking for his son. Now, it's not like in the first parable of this trilogy, like the shepherd who went out looking for the lost sheep. The father was home, but he was watching for his son's return. And when he saw his son's return, it didn't just say he waited for the son to get there. What did the dad do? He ran to him. Now, this is another thing that probably doesn't hit us the same way. In the culture of that day, men who had an estate, who were leaders in their family, they didn't really run to do anything. People came to see them. And if you think about the mode of dress at the time, the dad's wearing a robe. If he's going to run, he's going to have to hike up that robe to be able to run. And that you just didn't see that. That didn't happen. And so Jesus is telling us something else that's different about this father and how much he loved his son. He had actively been watching for him, and when he saw him, he didn't wait for him to get home. He ran to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him. Now, no one listening to Jesus could have predicted this kind of reaction, and that's exactly why Jesus told the story with this twist. He wants us to understand the love that our Heavenly Father has for each of us. We're going to talk more about this later in the series, but this is why I think this parable is often misnamed. We call it the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. And so we put the emphasis on the boy and his decisions. But as we're going to see as this series continues, the emphasis of Jesus' story is not so much on the bad choices of the young man, because we all can relate to that. Jesus is telling this story to focus on the love of this father whose son demanded to be able to walk away and for dad to finance it, and he did. And now this son's coming home, and everybody wants to know, how's the father going to respond? Jesus tells us about this father who waits patiently, eager for us to come home. He tells us about a father who would do anything to see us back in his house. Jesus tells us about a father who would suffer unimaginably while he waits for his children to come home. That's the picture Jesus wants us to understand of our God. He's not this angry God waiting to wave his finger in your face and greet you with folded arms and you're not welcome here. Jesus wants us to understand the Father just like this Father, who's loving and welcoming and forgiving. Jesus wants us to know who's waiting for us when we need to come home. Aha begins with us and usually our bad decisions, but the story ends with God and His love for those who return. When we take our life and our money and go off to a distant country, just like the Father in this story, God lets us go. He lets us make the decision to abandon our family, to throw our lives away in sin, to pursue our own selfish desires, to try to fill up the emptiness of our lives with drugs, pornography, anger, work, sports, TV, video games, you name it. It starts with our own decision to leave our Father's house and head out for the distant country. But when we are ready to say, I've had enough. I don't want to starve to death anymore. I'm going home. And then it all ends with our Heavenly Father running to meet us. No matter how far off that distant country is, God is sitting on His front porch. He's staring into the distance, waiting. He doesn't give up. He doesn't get tired of waiting. He doesn't go inside. He waits. And when you move beyond a sudden awakening and beyond brutal honesty and you take immediate action to go home, He will run to meet you. When you know who is waiting for you, it makes it possible to get up out of whatever pig pen you found yourself in. So my challenge for you today is this. If you've walked away from the Father's house and found yourself in the distant country, it's time to take action. Know where you are. Know where you're going. And know who's waiting for you. Now, many of you might find yourself in the place where you say, well, I've already come home. And that's great. But there may be somebody you know in your life, a family member, a friend, someone you work with or care about, who's still off in the distant country awaiting their aha moment. You can encourage them with these things as well. So lift them up in your prayers, because we have a loving Father who will welcome us when we're ready to come home. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you for our focus today on this third step of aha, taking immediate action. It's so sad and it's so tragic that many people have come to the point where they are either unhappy, unfulfilled, or miserable in the pig pen that they've made of their lives. But sometimes they don't see it. So I'm thankful when you give aha moments. And I'm thankful when people are willing to wake up and willing to be honest about what got them there. But Father, this third step, taking immediate action, is so important. Father, help us be strong. Help us be courageous to take whatever action steps we need to take in order to return to you. We may not be in a different geographical location, but Lord, it is so easy to drift apart from your heart. I remember even in the Gospels when Jesus talked to some of the Jewish religious leaders, he said, well, your lips are saying the right things, but your hearts are far from me. Lord, help us examine our hearts and make sure we're not far from you. And if we have, help us correct that by taking immediate action and coming home to you. Lord, I thank you for the realization that this story isn't so much about this rebellious young man as much as it is about the loving Father. I thank you the way that you were teaching people in the crowd that day and to us because it's written down in Scripture, these important things about our Father, that He doesn't manipulate or control us. He lets us walk away if we choose to, and often lets us experience the consequences of our actions. But when our hearts turn back home, He's the God who welcomes us. Lord, help us communicate that message to people that we know in our lives who have walked away. Maybe people that haven't awakened to their circumstances. Help us always be ready and always be looking for opportunities to point people back home. Father, this young man is called a prodigal, and he did walk away from his father's house and his heart. And Scripture says, in some degree, we've all done it. We've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But as we embrace this parable in its meaning, help us to have hearts that are willing to run home like a prodigal. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?